Opportunity to be here, and of course, thank you for Pastor Webb for allowing us to be here, and for Brother Brett for all the work and the organization to put this together. So I'm honored to be up here to preach for you guys. So we're there in Psalm 92. If you look at verse number 12, Psalm 92, 12, the Bible says, notice, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. It says, he shall grow like a tree, like a cedar in Lebanon. Verse 13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. So then the Bible says that the righteous are those who will be flourishing. There in verse number 12. And what does it mean to flourish? The word flourish means to thrive or to prosper. In verse 13, it says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord, again, notice, shall flourish, meaning they shall thrive, they shall grow, they shall prosper in the courts of our God. Verse 14, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. So it says the righteous, they will flourish. The righteous, they will be fat. You know, that word fat doesn't just mean literally fat. It means that God will bless you. And it says even in old age, you can become a Christian who thrives and flourishes even in old age. You say, well, how is it then? How do you become the Christian who not only is flourishing right now, but even in old age, at the end of your life, you will still be growing. You will still be producing something for the Lord. You will still be flourishing. Well, look at verse number 13. Notice what the Bible says. It says, notice, those that be, notice, planted in the house of the Lord. And the title of my sermon this morning is Planted in the House of the Lord. See, the way that you will grow and thrive as a Christian is when you decide to get planted in the house of the Lord. You know, I love the name of this conference, you know, the Fundamentalist Conference. And, you know, what could be more fundamental in the Christian life than church? You know, church, along with Bible reading, along with prayer, but church is a foundation. It is a fundamental of the Christian life. And the only way to thrive and succeed, not just now, but even in old age, is when you decide to get planted in the house of the Lord. Look at verse number 13 again. Notice, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. You know, the word planted means to put or set in the ground for growth. It means to establish, to place firmly. So you have to decide to get firmly established in the house of the Lord. Go to Psalm 52, if you would. Psalm chapter 52. You see, how do you become a Christian who not only is thriving now? And look, what's great about what I'm seeing today is that there's a lot of young people who are getting saved. They're beginning to grow in the Lord, to go soul winning, to be faithful to church. But you know what? It is rare to find the Christian who, even in old age, who when they're 50, 60, 70, they're still serving God. They're still thriving. They're still flourishing. That is a rare sight to see. Psalm 52, look at verse number 7. Notice what the Bible says. Notice, lo, this is the man, in verse 7, that made not God his strength. We have the psalmist speaking of the wicked of the world. It says, notice, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. See, the world will teach you that in order for you to thrive, in order for you to flourish, is for you to strengthen, to trust in the abundance of riches. See, the world wants you to think that wealth, possessions, money is what will help you thrive as a person in the future. Notice, and strengthen himself in his wickedness. See, the world, they're not living for the Lord. They're not going to church. They're not serving God with their life. And this is what the world wants you to see. The world will look at us and they'll say it's foolishness to be planted in church, that it is foolishness to be a sold out Christian who goes to church 3 times a week, who lives for the Lord. But notice what David says in verse 8. See, David said, I'm not like the world. In verse 8, it says, notice, but I am like a green olive tree, notice, in the house of God. Amen. See, David's saying, I'm not like the world. I'm not like the world who's trusting in wealth, who's trusting in riches, who's strengthening himself in his wickedness. No, I'm like a green olive tree. I'm just planted where? In the house of God. See, the way to thrive as a Christian is when you decide to get planted in the house of the Lord. And look, obviously the Bible says, it says, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. See, this is the house of the Lord. You got to get planted in church. Why? Because this is the only way that you will thrive as a Christian. Go if you would to Numbers 28, Numbers chapter 20. So this morning, I want to give you 4 places where you got to get planted in the house of the Lord. And what you notice about a tree is, you know, a tree doesn't just grow overnight. A tree just, you don't plant a tree and then it springs up like this. No, it takes time. Right. It takes time to grow. It takes time to get established. And, you know, a tree, when you see a big, massive tree that is strong and healthy, you know what? It took time for those roots to get established. It took time for those roots to go deep into the ground. It took time for that tree to get firmly placed and established for it to grow to that strength. And so this morning, I want to give you four places where you ought to get established in the house of the Lord. Number one, you got to get planted in the schedule of the church. The first place you got to get planted in the house of the Lord is just get planted in the schedule of the church. In Numbers 28, I want to show you the attitude that God had towards the schedule of his house in the tabernacle. In the Old Testament, notice the attitude that God had towards the schedule of the church. Numbers 28, look at verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, notice, command the children of Israel, and say unto them, my offering and my bread for my sacrifices made by fire for a sweet savor unto me. Notice what he says, shall ye observe to offer unto me, notice, in their due season. I want you to notice the attitude that God had towards the schedule of his house in the Old Testament. The first word he says there is his command. And, you know, we live in a day where churches, they want to send out a flyer and survey people. Hey, when is a good time for you to be in church? Let me schedule church around your life. But the attitude that God says, you know, command for the people to be with me. Notice what he says. It says in their due season. When I expect you to be there. When I want you to be there. Notice verse number 3. It says, notice, and thou shalt say unto them, this is the offering made by fire, which ye shall offer unto the Lord. Two lambs of the first year without spot, day by day, notice, for a continual burnt offering. Notice, every day. See, God's attitude is, hey, I want you to command the people. Command the children of Israel. Every day I want you to offer me in my house. To serve me in my house. And the attitude that God has is, hey, he doesn't say, hey, is this okay with you? You know, can I schedule my life, my schedule, my house? Can I schedule my house around your life? No, God's attitude towards his people is, hey, it says, hey, you schedule your life around me.
Amen.
When it comes to the schedule, you got to just get planted in the schedule of the church, meaning that your life, the schedule of your life should be revolved around the things of God.
Right.
It shouldn't be, God shouldn't be looking down and say, and be feeling like a burden to us. Yeah. See, church, the house of God is not a burden. It doesn't get in the way of our life. No, it is our life.
Right.
Christ, who is our life. See, we got to schedule our lives around the schedule of God. And here we see God having, notice, just a daily schedule. Not just that, he has also a monthly schedule. Notice verse 11. Notice, and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall offer a burnt offering unto the Lord, two young bullocks and one ram, seven lambs of the first year without spot. Here we have God not just having a daily schedule, but also, notice, just a monthly schedule. Saying, hey, even not just every day, but every month, I want to have a schedule for you. And the attitude ought to be, you know what? This comes first. See, church should not be a burden. There shouldn't be anything more important in your life than the things of God.
Amen.
But not just that, we see, notice, a schedule for just special days. In verse 16, notice, and in the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord. Notice, and in the 15th day of this month is the feast. 7 days shall unleavened bread be eaten. See, when you look at the Bible, what do you see? You see a schedule. And God's people, their lives, and we look at the Old Testament and we think to ourselves, well, of course, their lives should revolve around God. Why? Because it's the Old Testament. But it's the same thing for us today. You know, our lives, our schedule should revolve around the things of God. Go to Colossians 1, if you would. Colossians chapter 1. See, the first place you got to get planted in the house of the Lord is you got to just get planted in the schedule of the church. And when we talk about the fundamentals of the faith, the fundamentalist conference. How about the fundamental of going back to the old ways of just being in church? You know, there used to be a day in this country where it was where families would just go to church. It would be commonplace. It would be rare to see a family who just doesn't go to church. How about going back to the old ways of just putting God first and just being in the house of God? Colossians 1, like verse number 18, the Bible says, and he, of course, talking about Jesus, is the head of the body. In verse 18, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, notice that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now, the word preeminence means the fact of surpassing all others. Superiority. First place. See, what God looks down and he says, you know what? I should be first in your life. And think about the schedule of your life. Do you schedule your life around the things of God? And we live in a day when people want to schedule their lives and have church be the secondary thing. Where we put vacations and sporting events and parties and fun and their careers before God. Now look, obviously we have to work. Obviously God commands us to raise our families, to work, to raise our children, to love our spouse, to work hard in the world. But, you know, all those things should be for the glory of God. All those things should be done with having God as the preeminence. That means that he's number one. That means that he's first place. Go to Hebrews 10, if you would, Hebrews chapter number 10. You see, how do you get planted in church? Well, the first way, obviously, is to just be in church. See, the attitude when it comes to church is that when the church doors are open, you will be there. And obviously, there's no command that says, hey, church needs to be at 10 a.m., church needs to be at 6 p.m., there has to be a Wednesday night service. There's no command like that. But you know, when the church doors are open, guess what? God wants us to be there. He expects us to be there. Hebrews 10, look, verse number 24, the Bible says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. You know, what a sad statement. The manner of some is to what? Is to skip out on church. And look, as God's people, we shouldn't have church as an option. Right. Look, church is foundational. It is a fundamental thing that we do in the Christian life. And you will not find a Christian who is thriving and flourishing that is not going to church. Amen. There's no such thing as a Christian who is reading the Bible, who's praying, who's soul winning, but they don't go to church. I don't see that. See, the only way to flourish is to decide, I'm going to get planted, I'm going to get established and rooted in the schedule of the church. It says, notice, but exhorting one another. Notice what it says. It says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. See, we read the Old Testament and we think, well, of course God was angry with them. They were forsaking his house. They weren't going to church. They weren't putting him in first. But the Bible says here, and so much the more. That church is even more important today than it was yesterday. It says, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. You see, how do you get planted in the house of the Lord? Well, you got to just get planted in the schedule of church. If church starts at 10 a.m., guess what? You're going to be there. If church is at 6 p.m., guess what? You're going to be there. Church is on Wednesday night, guess what? Just decide, I'm going to be planted. I'm going to get established in the schedule of the church. Go to Acts 11, if you would. Acts chapter 11. You see, who's going to thrive as a Christian? You know, there's people that I look at in my personal life that I see as great examples. That I say to myself, you know, this is how I want to be as a Christian when I grew up. You know, I think of my pastor who's here, and I consider him a great example for me. You know, an example that I would like to be as a Christian. But you see, how do people get to be that place? It's because they decided. It's because they made a decision to do what? To get planted in church. To be there in the house of God. Why? Because church is important. Church is a fundamental thing that we do. But you got to develop a testimony of being faithful to church. Just develop a testimony of being faithful to church. Notice what it says in Acts 11, in verse number 26. It says, notice, and when he had found him, in verse 26, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year, notice, they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Notice, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. See, here we see the Apostle Paul in the early church just gathering with the church, assembling themselves together. And the world looked at them. They looked at these radical people. You know, they would have looked at them and said, these are extreme fundamentalists. And what do they call them? It says that they were called Christians first in Antioch. See, these people developed a testimony of being Christians, but how was it done? Was it done because they went soul winning, or because they were praying, or because they were doing anything else? No, it's because they assembled themselves with the church. Because they were in church, faithful to church. You know that word fundamental? I looked it up and it says, it's defined as forming a necessary base or core of central importance. You see, the world looked at these early Christians, at these people who were just gathering for church. And they're saying these people, they're just always assembling. They're just always together. And they call them Christians. And they thought to themselves, this must be very important to them to be gathered in church. You know, another word for the word fundamental, if you look up in the thesaurus, is the word radical. You know, and this is the idea that people have about church. That are you seriously going to church 3 times a week? Are you going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Doesn't this seem a little bit radical? No, it seems a little bit fundamental to me. It seems like that's something that Christians have been doing in the past and should be doing today. And the only way you're going to succeed, and look, people, your family should look at you and just know by your schedule that you're a Christian. Your neighbors should know, hey, they're not there Sunday morning. They're not there Sunday night. Because we just know that they're just these radical fundamentalists. They're just these Christians. They're just always going to church, always assembling themselves together. Just develop this testimony. See, the world should just know that you're a Christian based on what? Based on your schedule. Why? Because you put church above sports. You put church above fun. You put church above vacation. Why? Because in all things, he might have the preeminence. See, church is vital as a Christian. The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So just develop this attitude. When the church doors are open, guess what? I'll be there. I'm going to be in the church. I'm going to be there. And as radical as that may seem to the world, it should be just a fundamental thing that Christians do. And we live in a day when people don't want to put church first. And look, just deciding to be faithful to church, guess what it'll do? It'll develop some character in your life. Right. And we live in a day where people just don't have any character. And the reason why people decide I'm not going to be faithful to church is because they're too lazy to get dressed to be somewhere on time. And we live in a day where people just can't show up to their work on time, ready to go. But as Christians, hey, look, this is the profession of our faith. This is what we do. We're Christians. We go to church, and church is of vital importance in our life. You see, how do we get planted in the house of the Lord? Well, number one, you just get planted in the schedule of the church. Decide, I'm going to be there when the church doors are open. But number two, go to Ezekiel 33, if you would. Ezekiel chapter 33. Not only should you get planted in the schedule of the church, but number two, you got to get planted in the preaching of the church. You had to get planted in the preaching of the church. You know, when you look at a tree that's big and beautiful, you know, you go to like a place, we recently went to Sequoia National Forest, I believe, or Yosemite, and you see these big, beautiful trees. These massive trees, and you just look at them, and they're just so massive, and you think, man, what it took for God to create this beautiful tree. But you know what you don't see when you see these trees that are just healthy and strong and massive? What you don't see is the roots. You don't see what's underneath. You don't see what's underground. And when it comes to church, you know, we can all put up a front. We can all play the part. We can all get dressed. But you know what you don't see? You can't see the heart of someone who's listening and applying the preaching of the Word of God. See, when it comes to church, you gotta just decide, I'm going to get planted, not just in the schedule, but also in the preaching of the church. Ezekiel 33, look at verse number 31. Ezekiel 33, verse 31. Notice what it says. It says, and they come unto thee as the people cometh. Here we have God speaking of his people to Ezekiel. It says, and they come unto thee, to Ezekiel, as the people cometh. Notice, and they sit before thee as my people. I want you to notice these people, guess what? They're faithful in church. They're sitting in church. They're hearing Ezekiel. Notice, and they hear thy words. They're listening. You see, what's the problem with these people? Is the problem that they're going to church? Is the problem that they're faithful to church? No, here's the problem. It says, but they will not do them. See, the problem with some Christians, it's not that they're there physically. It's that they're not there in their heart. It's that their heart is not in it. It's that they're not planted in the preaching of the Word of God. It says in verse 31, notice, for with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. See, you know what they say with their mouth? They're saying, praise the Lord and amen. They're saying, Ezekiel, I love this preaching. Ezekiel, you're such a great orator. And look, you can find a lot of people who love our preaching, who love listening to our preaching. And that's not the problem. The problem that God says, it says, but they will not do them. They're there, but notice what God says. Notice, but their heart. But their heart goeth after their covetousness, what they want, what they desire. See, these people, they may be there physically, but guess what? Their heart's not in it. They weren't planted in the preaching. They weren't listening. Verse 32, notice, and lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. Notice, for they hear thy words, but what's the problem? But they do them not. You know there's a purpose to preaching? And the purpose to preaching is not for you just to love the preaching. And look, we hope you love the preaching. But the purpose of preaching is not just to listen. It's not just to say, hey, I love the tune. Hey, it sounds beautiful. No, the purpose is for you to apply. The purpose is for you to actually change. And when you see a tree that's established, that's rooted, what you don't see is the roots under the ground. And what you can't see in Christians is their heart. Is when the preaching of the Word of God is going on, they're saying to themselves, you know what, I'm going to apply this in my life. I'm going to have a tender heart towards the things of God. See, when it comes to preaching, your heart ought to be tender to apply the Word of God in your life. And realize, look, this is God trying to change you. See, the problem with the people is not that they were there. Look, they were there. But the problem is they didn't do it. They didn't apply it. Verse 33, notice, and when it's coming to pass. Now, when this is talking about the judgment, it says, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. You know, what a sad statement that these people, they had every opportunity to get right. And look, people come to church because hard times come, and praise Lord for those hard times. You know, whatever the circumstance is in your life that got you to church, praise God for it. People come to church and they want church to change their life. And look, church can change your life. But it's not enough just to be there. It's not enough just to walk in the doors and expect something miraculous to happen. No, you got to decide, you know, I'm going to apply what I hear. I'm going to apply what's being preached across the pulpit. And you can't see this in people. Look, but you know it in your heart. You in your heart, you know if you're the person who just sits there and just decides, I'm not going to apply this. Like, I don't know it. And look, I will not be right with God if I just sit in church and don't apply the preaching. God's no respecter of persons. Look, when it comes to the preaching, just decide, you know what? I'm gonna apply this in my life. I'm going to change. Go to Acts 17, if you go to Acts chapter 17. You see, how to get planted? You got to get planted in the preaching of the church. Because look, that changes your life. When you actually decide to apply the word of God. Acts 17, look at verse number 10. Acts 17, 10. The Bible says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Notice what it says in verse 11. It says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. You know, God looked down at these Bereans, and God said, you know, these Bereans, they're more noble than those Christians in Thessalonica. You know, God's saying, look, these Christians, they're better than these other Christians. They're better. You know, and I would hope that God would look at you and look at me and say, you know what, these Christians, guess what, they're better than some other Christians. You know, why? But why is it done? Notice it says, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind. You know, they went to church ready to receive the preaching, ready to receive the word of God, willing to hear it. But not just that, notice, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. See, what made them more noble? Is that they heard? No, it's because they received it with all readiness of mind. But guess what? They went home. They took it home. They searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. You see, what's the attitude in church? The attitude ought to be, I'm going to receive the word. I'm ready to receive what God has for me. And I'm going to take it home and apply it. And I'm going to take it home and put it in my life. Go to Luke 6. You go to Luke chapter number 6. Luke 6. You see, how do you get planted in the preaching? Because look, when you plant a tree, you could have a tree and just put it somewhere. But if you don't plant it, if you don't let those roots grow, it's just going to die. And the same way as a Christian, you know, our goal as Christians is not just to fill a pew for the purpose of just filling a pew. The purpose when it comes to church is guess what? I'm going to apply the preaching of the Word of God. And look, this is the key for you to succeed as a Christian. You will not succeed as a Christian if you just don't decide to apply what the Bible tells you to apply. Luke 6, look at verse number 47. The Bible says, whosoever cometh to me, verse 47, notice, and heareth my sayings. Here's somebody who hears the word of God, who hears the preaching, notice, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. Here's someone who decides, you know what, I'm going to hear it, and guess what, I'm going to apply it. Verse 48, he is like a man which built an house, and dig deep, notice, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Amen. See, the Christian who succeeds, the Christian who will thrive in the future, who when the storms come, who will not be moved, who is steadfast, who is strong in the faith, is the one who hears and does. The one who hears and applies. But notice in verse 49, notice, but he that heareth, notice, and doeth not. Here we have the Christian who sits in church, fills a pew, but decides in their heart, I'm not going to apply. Notice, is like a man that, notice, without a foundation, built a house upon the earth. It looked beautiful, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that was great. You see, success comes down to you doing what? To you applying the word of God in your life. So when it comes to getting planted in the house of the Lord, realize that it's not just being there. And look, you ought to just be there. But you know what? It comes down to you just deciding in your heart, I'm going to apply what the Bible says. And you know what? When you plant a tree, you expect that tree to grow. You expect that tree to year by year get bigger, get stronger, to grow bigger, and just to develop into something massive, something great, something enormous. But in the same way, you as a Christian, when it comes to church, you know, church ought to produce some change in your life. And it's not going to be instantaneous. It's going to be little by little. That's why you need every service. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, being there for the purpose of what? For the purpose of applying it in your life. And look, this is the key to success. And you got to ask yourself, you know, have I changed since I've been coming to church? Well, that may be because you're not just applying the Word of God. Look, whenever you hear the Word of God preach and it says, thus saith the Lord, then you know what? Just do it immediately. Do it right away. Why? Because this is how you will get planted in the house of the Lord. Go, if you would, to Acts 15. You see, how do you get planted in the house of the Lord? Well, number one, you got to get planted in the schedule of the church. Just decide, when the church doors are open, I'm going to be there. You also got to get planted in the preaching of the church. That when the Word of God is being preached, I'm going to apply it in my life. But number three, you got to get planted in the work of the church. I mean, talk about fundamentalists. I mean, how about the fundamental of just men girding up their loins like a man and actually working nowadays? Amen. And when it comes to church, look, just go back to the fundamental of I'm just going to go to work and to church and I'm going to work. And this is why we are in church. You got to get planted in the work of the church. And what does that mean? That means you got to get involved in the soul winning of the church. Acts 15, look at verse number 35. Acts 15, 35. Notice, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch. Notice, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. You know, later on, the world would look at these men and they would say, these that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. You know, when you read the book of Acts, you know, often we think of just Paul and Barnabas doing these great exploits. But notice what it says in verse 35. Notice, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. Notice what it says. It says, with many others also. Here we have the church at Antioch. And it says, Paul and Barnabas, guess what? They were doing the work. But it says, notice, with many others also. And you and I, you know, if we were there, I would have hoped to have been one of these many others also. Just in the work, involved in the preaching, teaching the word of God, going out soul winning. And look, this ought to be you. When it comes to church, get planted in the work of soul winning. Be one of these many others also who goes out there and preaches the word of God. And the world would look at us and say, these that have turned the world upside down have come thither also. So you got to get involved in the soul winning of the church. Go to Romans 10, if you would, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And look, God wants us to get planted in the house of the Lord, in church, for the purpose of what? For the purpose of working in church. Romans 10, look at verse number 14. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? See, God says, how is the world going to hear the truth of the gospel? How is the world going to get saved? How is the world going to hear about Jesus Christ? It says, how shall they hear? Notice, except they be sent. See, a church is here to do what? To send you out, to equip you, to strengthen you, to teach you how to preach the gospel, to teach you how to get somebody saved. It says, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. See, when it comes to getting planted in church, you got to just decide, you know what? When it comes to church, I'm going to show up to work in soul winning. Get planted in the work of soul winning. And look, work, and what's great about soul winning is that soul winning makes Christianity all the more real. Yes. And you got to just decide, I'm not here to play, to look like a Christian or just play Christianity. No, I'm here to actually live Christianity. And look, soul winning will really bring Christianity to life. When you go out there and you knock on someone's door, the world is going to think, hey, man, this guy's a radical knocking on my door. This guy must be a fundamentalist just knocking on my door. But you know what? This makes Christianity all the more real. When you actually go out there and when somebody slams the door in your face, or when somebody yells at you for what you believe, or when somebody curses at you for what you believe, or when some dog chases you, you know, spiritually and physically. But this makes Christianity all the more real. When you go out there and decide to engage the devil in warfare, try to go get somebody saved, look, this brings Christianity, it makes it all the more real. And as Christians, when it comes to church, just decide, I'm going to get involved in the work of soul winning. And be one of these many others also, and realize, look, this is why we're here. This is why there's a church here. so that we can help people, strengthen people, to send them out to preach the word of God. Go to 2 Corinthians 5, if you would, 2 Corinthians 5. And look, talk about fundamental. I mean, just working. What's more fundamental than work for a man? And look, this ought to be our view of church. That we show up to church, and guess what? We're ready to work. And we ought to view soul winning is not something that's just an option. Realize that soul winning is something that God doesn't just view as an option for us. No, it's a command he's given us. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, look verse number 18. The Bible says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ," notice, "and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." See, you and I think, well, the ministry, that's just for the pastor. That's just for the deacon. That's just for the staff. That's not for me. No, the Bible says here that he hath given to us the ministry, the work of reconciliation. And you, just because you're in the pew, realize that God has given you a ministry to reconcile unbelievers unto Jesus Christ, unto God. To go out there and preach the word of God. Verse 19, notice, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, notice, and hath committed. You know, what does it mean to commit? The word commit means to pledge or bind a person or an organization to a certain course or policy. It says, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. See, God doesn't look at soul winning as just an optional thing that we do. No, God has given you, he's given us a ministry, a work to reconcile, to preach the word of God, to get people saved, to preach the gospel. So when it comes to getting planted in the house of the Lord, realize that we don't have soul winning just to have soul winning. Or it's soul winning is not just for the ultra spiritual. No, soul winning is for all believers.
Right.
For everyone to get involved. For everyone to get out there and preach the word of God. It is your ministry. It is your work. It is what God has given you. And this is why we're here. To equip us so that we can go out there and preach the word of God. Go to Ephesians 4, if you would, Ephesians chapter 4. You gotta get planted in the work. Meaning what? Meaning you're gonna get involved in the soul winning of the church. Meaning when you show up, guess what? You're there also to work. But not just that, you shouldn't just get planted in the work of soul winning. You ought to just get planted in the volunteer opportunities of the church.
Amen.
Notice what it says in Ephesians 4, verse 11. Ephesians 4, 11 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Notice, "for the perfecting of the saints." And notice what it says. It says, "for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." There it says that God gave you a pastor, a teacher, not just for the perfecting of the saints, but also for the work of the ministry. And you know, one thing about ministry is that you may or may not understand is that ministry is work. And I'm talking about in the most practical sense is that gathering people, ministry, having church is work in the most practical sense. But look, you got to just decide, I'm going to get involved in that work. Because look, it took work to gather all these people into this building this morning. There was a lot of work that was involved in that. There was preparation. Look, somebody had to turn on these lights. Somebody had to clean the building. Somebody had to prepare the bulletin. Somebody had to just play the piano. Somebody had a song lead, read the scriptures. Somebody had to do all this work to get us here, to get us involved. And how is it done? It's done through people working. And when it comes to church, you got to just decide, I'm going to get involved in the work of just whatever there is, in the work of the ministry. Like your pastor should just know, I can count on this person to be there, to work, to help out, wherever's needed. Get involved in the work of the ministry. In the most practical sense, pick up a broom, vacuum, turn on the lights. Your pastor should know, this person's there to work. Whatever I need, they're there to help. And look, get involved in the work. Get involved in church. Because look, Christianity is not just this thing that we just watch like it's some sort of movie. No, it's something we do. Christ, who is our life. You're saying, "So church be my life." Look, church ought to be your life. I mean, if Jesus Christ died for the church, if he gave himself for the church, if he builds the church, then guess what? Church is pretty important.
Amen.
And in the most practical sense, just get involved in the work. And in your local church, just decide, you know what? I'm going to just go there and be a blessing to the pastor. be a blessing to the church, and just get involved in the work of the ministry. Go to Ephesians 2, if you go to Ephesians chapter 2. We got to just get back to the fundamentals of just work. Of getting back there, of just working in church. And look, this is the purpose. The purpose is for us to actually work. Ephesians 2, look at verse number 8. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And we love that verse. And we're not saved by works, and praise the Lord, we're not saved by works. But notice what God says in verse number 10. It says, notice, "For we," that's you and I, "for we are his workmanship," notice, "created in Christ Jesus," notice, "unto good works." See, yeah, we're saved without works, but guess what? Now that you're saved, guess what? God is working on you. And how is it done? It's done through us. We're created unto good works. See, as you work for the Lord, as you work in the ministry, as you work in soul winning, guess what? God is working on you. And this is the purpose. We've been saved for the purpose of working for the Lord. And look, and when you plant a tree, when you plant like a fruit tree, for example, guess what? You expect it to produce some fruit. Amen. When you plant a tree, you want it to produce some shade. There's a purpose for planting a tree. And guess what? God has saved you for the purpose of working for him. And while you work for him, guess what? God is working on you and changing your life and trying to fix you, trying to fix me, trying to help us become more into the image of his dear son, trying to help us grow in the Lord. But how is it done? It's done through you working. So just decide, you know, when it comes to the house of the Lord, I'm going to get planted in the work of the church, whatever that is. Find a place to help out and just get involved. Go if you would to Acts 2, if you would, Acts chapter 2. You see, how do you get planted in the house of the Lord? You got to get planted in the schedule of the church. Just decide, you know, I'm going to be there. You got to get planted in the preaching of the church. Decide, I'm going to apply the word of God whenever it's preached. You got to get planted in the work. Get involved in soul winning. Get involved in the volunteer opportunities. And number four, you got to get planted in the fellowship of the church. You got to get, I mean, what's more fundamental than just human interaction? Human relationships. And look, we live in a day where people just don't want a fellowship. But like, you got to just get planted in the fellowship of the church. We live in a day where people have best friends just on social media. Look, and it's all great to have friends on social media, but look, you got to just be someone who fellowships with other people. When you show up to church, you're going to fellowship. You're going to talk to people. You're going to you shouldn't be closer friends with someone you never met on the other side of the world than with your church people who you actually see all the time. And when it comes to getting planted in church, realize, look, there's more to church than just sitting there and just soul winning. And those are important. But you got to get planted in the fellowship of the church. Acts 2:41, that's what the Bible says. It says, "Then they that gladly received this word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Notice what it says, "And they continued steadfastly." These people were planted. These people were not movable. Notice, "And the apostles' doctrine," notice, "and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers." These people, they were steadfast. Yes, in the doctrine. And obviously, doctrine is important. This is what unites us, doctrine. We need doctrine, but it wasn't just the doctrine. Notice, "and in fellowship." And we got to get back to the old days of just fellowshipping with other people. Amen. Of just having human interactions. And when it comes to church, look, church is not just showing up when the service starts and just leaving once it ends. No, church is also fellowship. You got to show up early to church just to talk to other believers. You got to stay a little bit late in church just for the purpose of fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Decide when it comes to church, I'm going to get planted in the fellowship of the church, because just showing up and listening to preaching and just leaving and not talking to people is not church. That is not church. Look, it's also you fellowshipping with other people. Go to Acts 20, if you would, Acts chapter 20. Just decide when it comes to the house of the Lord, when it comes to church, you're going to go there, you're going to be there, but you're also going to fellowship with other people. You're also going to talk to other people, invest in other people. Acts 20, look at verse number 36, Acts 20, 36. Here we have Paul speaking to the elders of Ephesus. In verse 36, notice what it says, "And we had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all." Notice what it says. It says, "And they all wept sore." And in this chapter, we have God warning the pastors there of some pretty harsh things, of some pretty difficult things. You know, Paul's just telling them, "Hey, I'm not going to see you again." And he says, "Hey, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." He says, "Hey, even of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Look, these are some pretty harsh things. But notice why these people are weeping. It says, and they all wept sore, notice, and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. Verse 38, notice, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. You know, this verse has always stuck out to me. And this verse shows the love that people had for the Apostle Paul. And notice, they're weeping sore. It's a difficult time for them. But they're not weeping because of the wolves. They're not weeping because of the false prophets. They're not weeping because of all those the other hard things that Paul told them. It says, no, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, notice, that they should see his face no more. And you read those words, and man, you think, man, these people really just love the Apostle Paul. You know, Paul really had their heart. But you know, we also see the impact that Paul had on these people's lives. The fact that Paul was someone who gave his heart to other people. And you know, I don't know about you, but I would hope that if I told my church or people that I love, hey, I'm never going to see you again, I would hope that they would weep sore. And what we see is the fact that the Apostle Paul was a man who spent time investing in people, fellowshipping with people, talking to people, being there with people. And we see the heart that the Apostle Paul had for people. It says, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. You know, what a heart in the Bible. You know, the love that the people had for Paul, but you know, it shows the love that Paul had for people. And look, you ought to have the same love for your brethren. When you ought to be the person who decides, you know, I'm going to invest my time, my energy into somebody else. I'm going to invest my heart into somebody else. See, people ought to have a love, they ought to have a love for us in our church. Why? Because we spend time with them. We talk to them. You think if the Apostle Paul was just somebody who showed up to church and never talked to people, you think people would be this sad about it, that he would leave? I mean, could you imagine? They'd be like, well, I mean, I didn't really have a relationship with him. I didn't really know him. But no, that's not what we see here. We see the people heartbroken for the fact that they're losing their friend. We're losing someone who has invested in them, who spent time with them, who loved them, and that's what they're sorrowful about. And when it comes to church, you got to just decide, I'm going to get planted. Yeah, I'm going to be there in the schedule. I'm going to be there for the work. I'm going to be there for all these things, but you know what? I'm going to get planted in the fellowship. I'm going to invest my heart into the lives of somebody else. And look, this is how you make an impact. And we see the love that the Apostle Paul had for people. Go to Galatians 2, for Galatians chapter 2. And look, a Christian doesn't get to the end of their life. And look, you will not get to the end of your life thriving as a Christian, not investing in other people. You see why? Because look, the reason you got saved is because somebody invested the time to preach you the gospel. The reason anyone has grown as a Christian is because somebody spent time investing in them in their life, helping them, encouraging them, loving them. But you know what? You ought to take time to invest, help, encourage other people as well. Galatians 2, look, verse number 9. Galatians 2, 9. Notice what it says. It says, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas, notice, the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen and they into the circumcision. You know what people need sometimes? They need you and they need me to extend the right hand of fellowship. You know, when somebody walks through the doors of your local church, you ought to be the first person that says, you know what? Join us. Give me your hand. You know, I'll give you the right hand of fellowship. I'm there to talk to you. I'm here to invest in you. Why? Because when it comes to church, just realize, look, people need you to be there for them. And look, when we come to church, we go to church for other people. So decide, when it comes to the house, Lord, I'm not just going to go there and live in my little bubble and not talk to anyone or invest in anyone. No, I'm here to give my heart to these people, to help them, to serve them, to extend the right hand of fellowship. Go back to Hebrews 10, if you would, Hebrews chapter 10. Because look, church is more than just the preaching or the singing or the doctrine. And those things are all vitally important. But you know what else is foundational, fundamental? It's just human interaction. It's just fellowship. You know, think of a tree that's just there by itself, but nobody nourishes it. Nobody gives it some water. Nobody takes care of it. Eventually, it's not going to grow. In the same way, you got to just be the person who decides, I'm going to invest my heart, my time, my life into the people in my church. Hebrews 10, look verse number 23 again. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Verse 24, notice. And let us, notice, consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. See, the reason why you go to church is not just for yourself. No, you got to consider your brethren. You got to consider other people. It says, and let us consider one another. See, when it comes to church, because look, church is more, it's not a building. It's the people. And how does God build people? It's through other people. Look, you need just to decide, I'm going to get planted in the fellowship of the church. And decide, you know, I'm going to give my heart, not just for me, to help somebody else grow. To help somebody else thrive. You see, how do you get planted in church? You got to get planted in the fellowship of the church. Decide, I'm going to be there early. And I'm going to meet somebody new. I'm going to talk to people. I'm going to stay a little bit late so I can just invest my time and help somebody else. Be there for them. And plant, give my heart to somebody else. See, how do you get planted in the house of the Lord? Number one, you got to get planted in the schedule of the church. Decide, I'm going to be in church when the doors are open. You got to decide, I'm going to get planted in the preaching of the church. Decide, I'm going to apply the word of God when it is preached. How do you get planted? You got to get planted in the work of the church. Decide, I'm going to get involved in soul winning. I'm going to get involved in volunteer opportunities. How do you get planted? Number four, you got to get planted in the fellowship of the church. Decide, I'm going to give my heart, my time, my life to other people. You say, who's going to thrive at the end of life as a Christian? Even in old age, still thriving, it's those who are planted in the house of the Lord. Let's close.